Everybody, welcome to another episode of Nerds with Friends. My name is Cody Leach. I'm joined by Christian Garcia.
What is up?
We're
long time no record.
Back. I think this might mark the longest break, hiatus, what have you, in the podcast history. And let's be honest, you know, life just got in the way a little bit. But we're back. We're going to try to do more regular episodes, and we're also going to test out a shorter format, so this should be only about half hour long or so. Let us know if you guys like this shorter episode. Hopefully it'll let us get more to the point quicker, talk more about the topics we want to talk about, and you know, we're gonna trim the fat a little bit on the old nerdy confessions. So welcome back, we're excited to be back. Today we're going to be talking a lot about Comic-Con, San Diego Comic-Con 2023, what was different this year, and there was kind of a lot different this year, so we'll get into that. But before we do that, let's start off with some nerdy confessions where we confess the things that make us nerds. Christian, I'll go first this time, just to try out the old shorter format. So my nerdy confession, you know, is that there's definitely too many long, good video games right now, and it's driving me nuts. Between Jedi Survivor, Star Wars Jedi Survivor, Tears of the Kingdom Zelda, Diablo 4, and now Baldur's Gate 3, like, who's got the time to play all these video games, you know?
I haven't finished any one of those.
Yeah,
I haven't started any one of them. Baldur's Gate, so I'm gonna wait till it hits the PS5. So
there you go, that's good. Give you some time to work on everything else, you know.
Yeah,
what's your nerdy confession, Chris Jones?
My nerdy confession is I'm so excited. I got my fiance, who's amazing, got me an arcade 1-up Street Fighter machine. I think I don't remember what it's called, I think it's the Legacy or something like that, but it's got all Street Fighter 1, all the versions of Street Fighter 2, Strider, Commando, 1942, and Ghosts and Goblins, and Final Fight.
Oh, so, nice. That's a pretty solid collection.
Yeah, I've played all of them except for the original Street Fighter, which maybe it's a double nerdy confession. I don't think I've ever played the first Street Fighter, man.
I don't think I ever played the first one. I definitely played a lot of 2. But the first one, where it's like there's not even like Ken and Ryu, it's just Ken is like a different color, you know, sprite. Yeah, I've never played that one, but that'd be a fun one to check out.
Yeah, and I'm looking at another buddy of ours who actually joins us at Comic-Con every year. Antonio is going to help me modify it. So
nice.
And then he just kind of like reinforced how little I know about fucking tech and how useless I was at Best Buy. I was good at selling stuff, but when people ask me tech questions, I'm like, I don't know. The other guys.
Yeah, I mean, it's a rabbit hole for sure. Well, I'm sure it'll be a lot of fun. You'll get a lot of fun times out of that Street Fighter machine. You know, this is kind of a jump ahead into the Comic-Con talk, but one of the things we saw there was this new style of fighting controller that doesn't use a joystick, or, you know, I guess a bigger joystick like you would have on a traditional fight pad. It's all buttons.
Yeah, no D-pad, nothing. It's all buttons, which is fucking weird, but I guess it's really popular in tournaments right
now. Yeah.
And it's legal. It's tournament legal.
Which that was what kind of surprised me, because I'm looking at the layout, like, it seems borderline unfair for games like Street Fighter, especially, where it's like you can just tap, you can just drum 3 fingers real quick to do, you know, fireballs and stuff like that. So I don't know. It's kind of interesting.
Two fingers. It's just,
that's right.
Just down forward.
That's right. Yeah. So kind of interesting. Though I will admit, I always liked using a D-pad on a Street Fighter better than the joystick when I was playing on a console. Yeah, pretty interesting. We'll put a picture up on the old screen if you're watching on YouTube. But yeah, pretty cool stuff. Cool. Well, that just about does for nerdy confessions. We're going to take a quick little break to insert some ads, and hopefully we'll still get paid for this podcast, which is nice and fun, even though we're doing shorter. While we do that, make sure you guys like and subscribe, click the little bell icon, and we'll be right back talking about Comic-Con 2023. We'll be right back. And we're back. All right. So every year we go to Comic-Con. I mean, I know you've probably been in the past, what, 3 years or something like that, Christian, right?
Yeah.
Took a while to start going for you, but I've been going for like, I don't know, 13 years now or something every year. And I will say this year definitely felt a little different. Now, we've been gone so long, we haven't really talked about like the writer's strike, the actor's strike, and what it has kind of done to the entertainment world. But it definitely, we definitely felt the effects of it here at Comic-Con, because no actors were allowed to go to Comic-Con as long as they're part of SAG. And they weren't allowed to do any functions for studios or anything like that. I think they're still allowed to go for personal side projects and stuff, like if they wrote a book or what have you, but they're not allowed to promote or talk about any, you know, studio projects that they're working on. So Marvel was not there. Warner Brothers was not there. Lots of the major motion picture companies were not there. And because of that, like Hall H, which is normally a big draw where people camp out overnight and stuff, was kind of desolate. It was empty, and they didn't even have a full day of programming every day in Hall H. It went from, like, you know, instead of going from like 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. or 5 or 6, it went from like 11 to like 3 or 4. It was strange. Did it feel strange for you this year?
You know, it did feel different. But I will say I'm super okay with no Hall H, just because that shit just needs to calm down, man. Like, the way people would line up like a day and a half beforehand, and it's like you're just wasting a full great day at the convention, you know, and people are getting, wait, not getting sunburned and possible fucking heat stroke. And like, I was totally okay with that. Plus, the experience of last year with all those goddamn Reddit guys just like eating up that line, you know? Yeah. So, like, I was fine with it. But it was interesting that there was also a lot of stuff missing inside the convention center, like Sideshow Toys.
Sideshow Collectibles, yeah.
Sideshow Collectibles, they weren't there. And I feel like there was other companies that we didn't see. So... Yeah. I mean, it was still amazing, you know.
Yeah,
it was still great, but you can definitely feel the difference for sure.
Yeah, I think, you know, one of the major things was it felt on certain days it felt more crowded inside the hall because, again, people aren't waiting out. You know, Hall H has a capacity of like 7,000 people or something like that. So because there aren't people waiting in Hall H, there's 7,000 more people in the convention hall, which is already, you know, super crowded. And I will say there was no like big HBO installation across the street this year, which also has a huge line every year. So I think with less attractions out and around the convention, I think there was a lot more people inside, which, you know, made it a little more crowded here and there. But I think the thing that bothered me the most was it seemed like there was less, you know, interesting studio presence inside, as far as like they would have like, you know, movie stars like talking about things inside the convention center in the exhibit hall. And then big display companies feel like they didn't go as hard. Like the Sideshow Collectibles wasn't there at all. I think it's Hasbro or Mattel, one of the companies who does all the, you know, Marvel and Star Wars toys. They always had these big dioramas of you know, battle scenes and stuff like that, of like all the superheroes fighting each other, that, you know, some, you know, some person at the, at their company spent hours and hours creating this huge dynamic diorama. And I always like looking at those. I think it's always a really cool thing to display their toys. And it's like, that's gotta be the dream job, right? Being able to sit down with all these toys and just like build the battle of your dreams kind of thing, or have the Millennium Falcon taking off out of Mos Eisley with, like, you know, Han shooting Greedo down in one scene. And, you know, I really missed seeing that kind of stuff. Or like Lego even, right? Lego did a big,
it was a block, what was it?
Brickbuster video. Which was kind of cool. It was like walking through a movie store and then all the DVD covers were made of Legos.
They just didn't have any big installments. Like, you normally you would see like a giant Hulk or like a Captain America or something, but
right. Seemed like they pulled back quite a bit. There were other companies that had big displays though. There's a big Final Fantasy demon statue of Ifrit, and there was
Capcom had a lot of cool stuff.
Capcom had the new Street Fighter available to play, and they released a new character there. So there was still a lot of fun stuff to see.
Rasheed was the character, and they had like a little mini tournament. Mm-hmm. That was kind of cool.
Yep, which is where we saw that fight stick. What was your favorite thing that you saw this year?
Again, I said it like we went with a newcomer, Alex. And he had asked them, we drove over there and on the drive back, you know, he was asking like, what was my favorite thing? And like I said, it was like hanging out with everyone for days. But if we're talking about Comic-Con, you know, Anthony's Collectibles. So it's this guy, he sells, I saw him last year and he sells his stuff on eBay. Make sure and check it out. I believe it's Anthony's. I'm pretty sure Anthony's Collectibles. Always has Anthony's Comics, always has super fair prices. Like, anytime I go, I at least want to go and buy like one comic that I'm looking for, and he always has like super, super, super fair prices. And versus all the other guys, like, they all remind me of the guy from The Simpsons, the comic book guy, like, super judgmental and like treats everyone like they're fucking morons. And it's a bunch of those guys usually like selling, and they're always like,
it's always the guys with the CGC graded stuff behind the glass cases and stuff. They're always standing there in suits, and just like, you're looking at it and they're like, this is not for sale for you.
They're super like that. And like, I actually went and approached, because they had the first appearance of Spider-Man. They had an Amazing Fantasy there, and I was looking at it, and it's a higher grade than mine. And then he's like, oh, yeah. I was like, hey, what, you know, what's it going for? And like, they didn't want to talk to me. I was like, I'm just curious because I have a 4.5, and I was considering, you know, like selling my copy to upgrade. And then they stood up and they were
super. Oh, right, the Swisser.
Then they super talked to me. They're like, oh, well, here, there's an auction. Here's our book. And I'm like, what are your guys' commissions prices? He's like, oh, well, it depends. I was like, okay, so you're not going to give you the numbers? Cool. And I was like, you know, but obviously, guys are going to try to, you know, sell it for as much as possible so you guys get a better commission. He's like, oh yeah, absolutely, blah blah blah. He's like, you know, email me, gave me his card, email me if you're considering, blah blah blah. I was like, now you're interested, you know. Throw out that I have that in order for you guys. Yeah. I was like, okay, cool. Anthony's super cool guy. I bought like, and normally normally my move is go on a Sunday, pick out the books I want to buy, and dealers are usually more willing to cut you a deal because, you know, they either A, didn't sell as much, or they want to lug less things back.
Right.
And I didn't even have to ask Anthony. He was just like, right away, I'll give you this price of these books. And I was like, it was even less than I was going to offer. Yeah. I was like, absolutely. I was like, here's my card. He's like, oh, well, you know, since you're not paying cash, I gotta charge you $10 more. I was like, fair. I was like, it's worth it to me. I'm not gonna go and look for an ATM. Like, I'd much rather pay the $10 difference. Like,
yeah. I ended up buying something from him too. I bought a Secret Wars #1, which was like, I think I got like a 9.4 or something, some really good quality one, good highly rated one. And like, it was the same thing. You know, he was like, I'll give, if you pay cash, I'll give you, you know, $10 off of it or whatever. I was like, all right. I mean, it's fine. I was ready to pay full price anyway, you know? So, yeah, he's a good dude for sure. I really enjoyed looking through his stuff.
He was nice too, because he was near the artist that you super love.
Yeah, Alex Pardee. Yeah. So it's kind of cool. And I think he was there last year too. Those two are always pretty close to each other. Yeah. So it works out for us, because that's one place we like to both stop. I'd say one of my biggest best things that I saw this year was over at Viz Media. They had a big Junji Ito display, who's a very famous horror manga artist. And you know, I've only been a fan of his art for, I don't know, maybe a year or two, but man, it's so cool. It just doesn't look like normal, like, anime art or anything. And they had a bunch of his like original artwork there, and I guess we missed it there. They had like even more stuff offsite at like the Marriott or something that we missed. And you know, but it was very cool to see some of that stuff in its original form. And I got like the Comic-Con exclusive print that I'm very excited for. Haven't found a frame yet to put it up, but I will be looking for that. So that's kind of the stuff that I've started to really enjoy at Comic-Con, is like looking at the cool artwork, stuff that you can't just go into a normal comic book shop and see, right? Now, certain, you know, most comic book shops will have like at least a couple, like, you know, rare variants or something like that that they keep in a glass case or whatever. But, you know, to go into someplace like Anthony's there and just like page through CGC rated stuff, you know, that goes from, you know, $30 on up to, you know, hundreds or thousands of dollars. You don't get to do that very many places, you know.
No, and he actually has original artwork, like panels and stuff. He has, yep, a bunch of stuff like that.
Yeah. And same thing with, you know, with seeing someone like Junji Ito, which is like, you know, he's a manga artist. So the odds of seeing original artwork from him is like so rare, unless you're in Japan at like some place that he has set up, like a gallery or something. It's very cool to see that kind of stuff. Or like Alex Ross, you know, we saw the big Alex Ross booth.
Yeah.
And I got something from them too, which was fun, because like I didn't think I was going to be able to get that con exclusive artwork, and they just had it there.
I will say, and it wasn't particularly the people working at the Alex Ross place, but it's interesting how like they must just hire people in San Diego. Like anybody's like, they didn't know anything.
Yeah.
And again, it's not, I don't even like, I'm not even mad at them or anything. It's yeah, on the shops, but like, I don't remember if it was you or Alex who had asked like, oh, what size is this? It's the same size of the one over there.
Yeah.
It wasn't even. We get picked to the hotel, we open it, it's like half the size.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. They straight up lied, whether they did it on purpose or not, I don't know. But
right. I think for a lot of those people, they're hired on as like temps, you know, through like a temp agency. And like we've seen it before, even at like restaurants and stuff down there, where the servers they have, because there's such an influx of people, they don't have the normal staff to take care of it. So we've talked to servers before. They're like, oh yeah, I'm at this restaurant today, and then tomorrow I'll be over here, and then tomorrow I'll be over, the next day I'll be over here. So they really bounce around. And so like, you got to cut them a little bit of a break that they don't know everything. But to me, it's always like, if you don't know the answer, just like ask someone who does, you know, maybe. But they were super nice. And like, they even let us like pick out, you know, the numbers of the, because the, at the Alex Ross one, they were individually numbered prints. And so they let us pick out the one we wanted, which was kind of nice. You know, they didn't have to do that. So
no, they were super nice. And again, it's not their fault they didn't know the stuff, but it's yeah, just, it was hilarious. They're like, yeah, sure. That's what it is.
What do you, for this year at Comic-Con, what was the biggest like letdown, drawback, disappointment that you had?
Not much, man. It's gonna sound weird, but I wish we had tried new places to eat.
Yeah.
but like, you know, it's not like we weren't gonna go to Tacos
El Gordo.
Yeah, you know, like we obviously had to hit that up. And I know we've been to Bubs before, But this year was like particularly good. I don't know what it was, but the wings were really,
They hit different this year for sure.
they were really good. I don't know if they just upped their game or something, or we were just extra hungry. I
It could
don't
have been
know.
that. I think they were great for sure.
Oh, and Morning Glory. I have to mention Morning Glory was so
Morning
good.
Glory, yeah, so good. It's funny because when you're down there, we've been down there enough where we have certain places we like to go and whatnot, and so it is kind of hard to branch out because like you don't know like a lot of these places it takes a while to get into, to get a table and whatnot, and it's a lot to risk if you want to try someplace new. You might wait 45 minutes to an hour. You can see it, and if the food's not good, you're like, well, shit, like we could have gone to one of these places we know is good. But I'd say if I had like one like disappointment, I would say, and it wasn't even a big deal, but like for the 13, 14 years I've been going to Comic-Con, I've always pointed out the Top Gun barbecue place. And
Okay.
because there right there by the convention center is the barbecue restaurant where they sing Great Balls of Fire in the movie Top Gun, right? It was filmed there because a lot of it was filmed in San Diego. And I pointed out every year, I'm like, oh, that's where Top Gun is. And they even have a sign and stuff. And we went for the first time ever this year. There was like no line. We just walked right in, and it's like the food was fine. It wasn't like terrible, but it also wasn't great. You know what I
It
mean?
was, I would say it was
Mediocre.
like, if this is the line for fine, it was right at fine.
Yeah.
Like, it was pretty close to not fine, but
We even stopped at some place in like the middle of nowhere for like a bathroom break and to grab lunch driving down there because we drove this year. And that place I thought was better.
oh, way better. I don't remember what even the place called. I don't remember the town. What it was like with a B. What was it?
Button Willow or something like that.
Button Willow, yeah.
Yeah. And they
But
were super friendly and everything. It was really nice.
it was one of those places that had a boot cleaner outside of the door.
Yeah.
And as soon as we walked in, I was like, one of us is definitely getting like food poisoning.
Yeah.
But no one did, and the food was fucking delicious. Like,
Yeah, it was great.
I got a burger and it was fucking amazing. It was really good.
Yeah, it's funny how sometimes when you build a place up like that, it's hard to not be a disappointment. It's
The bar looked really cool when I went to go use the bathroom. The
that's
bathroom
true.
was really clean.
Yeah. That's cool. I mean, but yeah, it was kind of a letdown for sure. I will say,
Even see the piano. There was no piano.
yeah, I don't know. I didn't explore around in there enough. I will say kind of another bummer is the lack of like exterior like installations and stuff like that. Like there was always, now we didn't go back to where Hall H line is, where they normally have a big Cartoon Network Adult
Yeah.
Swim thing out there. So there could have been something back there, but there was no big HBO Game of Thrones things like there normally is.
Yeah.
And then when you walk across the street, there's normally something, stuff set up in that first restaurant and then off to the right as well over in the Gaslamp District. And there just wasn't stuff there this year. So that's kind of a bummer. I hope that that's just maybe a strategic move by the studios. But I mean, at the time that the actor strike was happening, like Comic-Con was only like a month away, and you have to imagine they take more than a month to get permits and supplies and stuff for all these things. So I don't know if it was just if they knew it was something that was coming and that they pulled back preemptively or what, but I do miss seeing that kind of stuff out in front. But it's still a great time. The reason I like going to Comic-Con is not to buy a bunch of crap. It's not to see panels. It's to hang out with my buddies and look at cool shit together. You know what I mean? That's why I go to those things. So it was really fun having Alex go there for his first time. He had a really good time. But I will say the guy has a hard time waking up in the morning. It's this is the latest we went every single day to Comic-Con, which honestly is fine, like because I'm always like super exhausted by the time we get done, and this year was not not as bad. I was still tired for sure. Like, you know, we walked, I don't know, 8 miles a day or something like that. But definitely a fun time there, you know, every year. Comic-Con, even on its, you know, it's kind of like pizza, even on its worst days, it's still awesome. It's still Comic-Con, you know?
Yeah, I will say, I'm like, I wish, I know they'll never do it, but I wish they would get rid of, like, the super religious guys that are just out there trying to ruin people's fun.
Yeah.
They're still out there, and, like, and the other thing I wish, and this is on us, the nerds that go, don't engage them, man. That's the whole reason why they go. Like, yeah, they go because they want to piss people off. But if everyone just walked past them and just completely ignored them, they'd stop going.
Yeah, But because people get a rise out of them and stuff, you know, they'll keep doing it, you know, because apparently that's what they like to do.
I guess that's what Jesus said. Make sure and go and ruin people's fun.
Yeah, exactly. The one thing I'd say too, for anyone going to Comic-Con, you know, this year our friend Alex had a really hurt knee, tore his MCL. So he's in one of those little scooter things.
Little rascal scooters.
And I will say, man, people do not like pay attention. Like it's different when you're walking around and someone just stops in the middle of an aisle on, you know, on their phone or to look around or whatever. Because you can, as a able-bodied person, can just sidestep them and get out of the way, or even like, you know, weave past them and weave in and out. Man, when you got one of those things, like if someone just like is walking and then they just stop without warning, like you're either running over their heels or you're having to jerk and stop and whatnot. So, you know, just being a little bit more aware, I think, would be super helpful.
Yeah,
man, that, you know, unfortunately, with one of the deals with Comic-Con is, a lot of the people there are not used to maybe socializing or being these social, you know, experiences and stuff, and don't know how to interact with crowds, don't know how to pay attention, aren't aware of their surroundings. So it was kind of a trial getting.
Also, we should say the Comic-Con staff that helped us with getting.
All the ADA people.
They were all fucking sweethearts,
rock stars,
amazing at like ordering and calling the shuttle, like a specific shuttle for Alex and getting stuff. They were, and I forgot it. What was it? Was Vicky her name?
It could have been.
She was amazing. She was usually there helping us out.
Yeah, like, and they like walk you down there. They, you know, ask you how you're doing and stuff, and they pull a van over and then they help load you up and stuff. It was incredible because, like, you know. Luckily for Alex, this is a temporary thing for him. You know, he's just injured. But, you know, imagine if your whole life is in a wheelchair, or, you know, you have mobility issues. Like this, you would not be able to go to the convention without support like that. You know what I mean? There's no way. Like if you're on crutches, or if you have a, you know, wheelchair, like the normal bus driver guys didn't want to help us for shit. For, you know, putting
there was the one guy. What did he say?
He's like, we don't touch those.
It was exactly. It was only rude.
Yeah.
Like he rolled over, and we were there, like ready to lift, and he's just like, we don't touch that. I was like, no one asked you. Like,
yeah. No one asked you to. Can we put it in here? Like, I said, we don't touch that. You can do whatever you want. We don't touch. I'm like, okay, well, could you open the door for us? It's your bus. Otherwise, I could do that too. I'm, you know, I don't need a college degree to freaking open this door. And like, he was just such an asshole the whole time. And it was like, first of all, the first bus driver did help us. Like, we didn't ask him to, but he, you know, he helped us out. Also, there's a way of saying that, like, hey, I would love to help you, but for liability's sake, we're not allowed to help with other people's things. I'm happy to open the door for you, but you guys will have to put it in yourself. No problem. Like, I'm happy to do it. We were planning on doing it anyway, but God, I was so upset at that guy. But luckily, most of the people were very friendly and helpful. So that was just one shitty guy. But Comic-Con, you know, another year gone. I'm already excited for next year. I didn't spend as much money as I wanted, you know, as I feared I could, you know, because it's always a dangerous place down there. But got some cool stuff, and I had a really good time. So I'm excited for next year.
I will say I was in the beginning disappointed at the mystery magic boxes we got. But once I got them home and I was like really looking at the ramen bowl and the tumbler, like, oh, this is kind of cool, man. Like, this, yeah. I can get some use out of this.
It's fun little swaggy stuff. You know, you can't, it's never going to be exactly what you want. That's the whole point of the mystery box, right? They put a bunch of cheap shit in a box and charge you money for it. But there was some cool stuff in there. And, you know, they're a fun thing to do. If you like, if you got an extra $40 and you want to throw it at something, you know, there's worse ways to do it.
Although I got played on the collector's packs, man, for the Lord of the Rings. They got nothing good out of them. Two packs of nothing.
We'll just have to go to Gen Con next year, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
Try that out. Well, check out Comic-Con if you guys get a chance. It's a fun experience. Even on its off years, it's still a hell of a time. So hope to see lots of you guys out there next year. And we're going to be keeping our eyes out for whenever tickets go on sale again. I'm sure it'll be in a month or two for some reason. but it was a fun time. Hope you guys enjoyed this new shorter format episode. We're going to try this out and see if we like it, see if you guys like it. And hopefully this will let us do more episodes on time. And, you know, hopefully it'll get more eyeballs on it too. So let us know down in the comments if you like the shorter episode. While you're down there, make sure you like, subscribe, do all the fun stuff. And make sure to check out patreon.com/nerdswithfriends for, you know, more stuff, more support for the show. We do appreciate that. Christian, thanks for always being my ride or die Comic-Con buddy.
Yay!
And thanks for not snoring too loudly in the hotel room. But to all the nerds out there, remember, you're not alone. You're with friends. This is Nerds with Friends. Thank you. Good night.